Okay. Miranda Lloyd's little 1-year-old daughter is having a couple procedures this morning, and they will keep her in the hospital a week. And then let's continue to pray for the stuff going on at Foss Lake. It's Christmas in July, y'all. Today and tomorrow, and it's been kind of rainy, but it's okay. It just cools it down. It clears the air and cools it down. So I know we had to do some readjusting everything yesterday, because with all the rain, we can't get on the grass because it'll make ruts. And, you know, so we're having Miss Neva, bless her heart, I love her. I want to be like her when I grow up. Because she just goes, she runs circles around me out there, y'all. I ain't even joking. So if we could just pray for all of us out there at Foss Lake and Joe and Neva Pyatt and this. Emily. Little Emily.
Okay. We'll pray for Emily. Father, we just thank you for Emily. Father, you know all the details of everything that's going on. So, Father, we just thank you that you're moving on our behalf. And, Father, I always ask for touching in the natural, but I even ask more for the touching in the supernatural, because that's always more than anything that we could think or imagine or do. So, God, I just ask that you would move in her life today in a supernatural way, Father. And I just thank you that as we've been talking about today, that the Holy Spirit would just have his way here, that as he brings peace and comfort and direction to everyone involved in the situation, whatever these procedures are, Father, you know. So, Father, I just thank you that your will be done in her life in Jesus' name. And, Father, we just want to lift up the 4th of July. That's a great time for people just to get together and hang out and fellowship and be with one another. Father, we just thank you for watching over everybody. Father, that there's protection and safety there. And Father, that things would just go according to your will and to your purpose, Father. And people would just get to enjoy each other's times and celebration. I love our country. And there's nothing better than to celebrate what you have given us. So, Father, I just thank you for that. And just thank you for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen. A salute to our veterans and military. 33rd Foss Lake Christmas in July. July 7th and 8th. You're not going to want to miss this, y'all. It's so cool. Friday opening for fun at 1 p.m. Lights out at 11 p.m. Saturday opening for fun at 8 a.m. Lights out at 11 p.m. There's so much going on, y'all. There's just so much. See all that? There's a lot going on. Come out there, y'all. I won't throat punch you, I promise. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue right here in Elk City. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dodson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dodson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDodsonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. Our guest this morning is Jason Mung, and his title is The Comforter. Back to you.
All right. All right, so we're kind of talking about these spiritual gifts that come from the Holy Spirit, right? So I'm going to jump down, still in 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to go down to 28. He mentions here, are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers. Then there are those who do the miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. Then he goes on and he poses some questions here. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the ability, or do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? And he says, of course not. And again, so when we see this, some people will read that and they'll say, oh, so we don't. Of course, he said, of course not. We don't all have these things. What's the key word in here? All. Do we all? We don't all walk in all of these things, right? Because God chooses which person will walk more prominent in some things over the others. Let's don't confuse the scripture and the truth of what it's saying here, because oftentimes we'll read this and we'll discount ourselves because we'll think, well, I don't recognize any of those things in my life at this moment, so I guess I didn't get picked, right? And you feel like, you remember that feeling in the schoolyard when you were the last one, right? And then it twirls off and it spirals off into a pity party and all this just inward, ugh, right? Let's don't do that. Let's be mature in Christ. Let's see the truth of what his word is saying here. We are not all these things, but are we all, do we all have access to these things? Yes. Why? Because what did it say earlier on? It's from the Spirit that these things come. So therefore, whatever is in need in that situation, as I am willing to walk, be available with God in these moments, guess what? He'll prophesy through your mouth. He'll bring new tongues, new language to your mouth, right? Mm-hmm. He'll move through your hands, through your mouth to speak and bring forth healing or miracles, those things that can happen. You may not be the natural born leader. Some people are born into servant, but you know what? Jesus was the biggest servant of all that led, right? So don't judge yourselves again among yourselves. God created you. You are the clay. He's the potter, right? So just humble yourself to that. Submit yourself to that and allow God to do things that you never thought or imagined would ever happen in your life. But if you put up the boundaries, right? And just like we talked about with a woman, if she had never approached, she would have never received what she got that day, right? And we can do the same thing. I think there was even a scripture I came across the other day and I was like, wow, I don't know that I remember reading that before. But there's a scripture that talks about where that Jesus went in and he said he couldn't heal very many because of the disbelief. Mm-hmm. Did it change the fact that Jesus couldn't have healed everybody? Like, in Jesus himself, could he have healed everybody he touched? Absolutely. But why couldn't he? Because they would not apply the belief and say, yes, yes. And again, it's no different when we look at with the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings in our life. I can limit who God is through my life. I can. Mm-hmm. He made me a free will being. That's how he created us. He is not going to override. He's not going to overbear. He's not going to push himself. He is going to be a gentleman. Mm-hmm. He is going to allow us to allow him to work through us in every way that we want him to, right? So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do. If you're in a situation and someone needs hands to be laid on them so they can be healed, it's you. It's you. Because you're there, right? You're the body of Christ. He is the head and we're all the rest. We are, as they say, the cliche Christian saying, the hands and the feet of who Christ is, right? There is no limit to how God can work through your life except for you. You. Allow the Holy Spirit to move through you as he sees fit. That is one of the things that every day that I wake up, I just say, God, I want you to use me today how you see fit. I am just saying, I'm willing, I'm available, I'm here. Use me. Use my life. And sometimes in that moment, he starts bringing stuff to me. Go here. Go talk to this person. Call them. Text them. Like, he just starts to do that stuff for me. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes I just go about my day and I run into somebody at the gas pump or I'm talking to somebody or somebody calls me on the phone, right? But as you position yourself in that way, all of these gifts that we see here are available through the Holy Spirit that lives in each and every one of us who have said yes to Jesus Christ. Allow God to move how he wants to move. Don't limit God in your life by saying, well, I can't do that, right? Because again, let's go back to Genesis. How is everything that we know, how did it come into being? Spoken. The word. Yeah. Spoken, right? We are created in his image. Yeah. Therefore, as we speak, guess what? Things are created. He talks about that in several places. Death and life, they're in the power of our tongue. When we speak, we are spreading seed. It will bear fruit. I don't care that we're good or negative, it will bear its fruit. When you speak, those seeds will bring forth their fruit, right? And that's why we have to be so accountable to the things that come out of our mouth. Mm-hmm. Especially in the moments when we want to say things that we know shouldn't, right? In the moments where circumstance and life and all that stuff shows up, we have to control the tongue. We have to make sure that I'm not going to speak anything. And as a matter of fact, in those moments, and this is what we learn as we mature in Christ, in those moments when life and circumstance and all that shows up, what do? Oh, we speak. We speak life. We take the authority that we're given through that Holy Spirit that is inside of us. When sickness shows up, we say, no, I do not accept this in Jesus' name. You don't have this over me. I have healing. I have health. I have wholeness. Jesus paid for this on the cross. This is the price that he paid. Yes, salvation was there, but you know what? It was also by his stripes that your body is healed. Mm-hmm. So when that shows up, don't start, oh, man, I feel terrible today. Don't start that. Father, thank you for your healing. I thank you that I don't care what my flesh feels today. Father, I thank you that I walk in fullness and wholeness because that is what you bought for me. So I thank you that I am not going to focus today on not feeling good. But Father, I thank you that you woke me up today for your will, for your purpose in my life, in Jesus' name. Change your speech because guess what? As you speak those things, it will bear fruit in your life. It will. So I'm going to move on a little bit. We're going to jump into the very end of 12 there, 31. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And then he says this. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Like, dude, are you kidding me? We just talked about gifts of healing, leadership, tongues, prophecy, apostolic movement, teachers, good advice. We talked about all these things. How is there, what's better in life? And I love this. If I could speak of all the languages, I'm going into 13, of earth and of angels, but didn't have love, I would only be a noising gong or a clanging cymbal. And he goes on to say, if I had prophecy, if I had knowledge, if I had faith that can move mountain, but I didn't love, it's nothing. I would be nothing. If I gave everything to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love, what would I have gained? I look at Jesus's life and the most known scripture in the Bible to the Christian community, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? He loved, so he gave. That is the ministry that each and every one of us are called to above all of these other things. Do not find yourself chasing the gifts. Paul instructs, earnestly desire those things, yes. But do not find yourself chasing those gifts to make those the most important thing in your life. Live the best way through love. And guess what comes from love? The gifts. The gifts. And as I talked about earlier, this is an overflow, right? The gifts are the overflow of love. That's what they are. Why could Jesus lay hands on the sick and they recovered? Why could he speak things and they happened in that moment? Because Jesus walked in love everywhere that he went. He not only walked in it, he was it, right? We're created in his image, right? His same spirit that raised him from the dead now lives in us. So what is in us? Love. Love, right? What is love? Let's continue in 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It's not rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It always is hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Then he just goes on to say, prophecy and speaking in unknown language, special knowledge, they will become useless, but love will last forever. What does he mean by that? What do you mean they'll become useless? Because these things only function or only good for us while we're here on earth, right? Because when we're on the other side, all of those things are fulfilled. We see through the scripture many times prophetic words that have been spoken, right? All through scripture, prophecy. And we talked about that earlier, how it talks about itself. It proves itself in the word. But when all of those things have come to fruition on the other side, they won't matter anymore. But you know what will? Love. Love will. Because it says love will last forever. The knowledge that we have now in verse 9 is only partial. It's incomplete. Even the gift of prophecy reveals only a part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become what? Useless. And then he gives us some encouragement here. When I was a child, I spot and I thought and I spoke as a child, right? Mm-hmm. But when I grew up, what do we must do? We must put away the childish things. And I know this is kind of a punch in the gut sometimes. Selfishness. Pity parties, all of those things. What are those? They're childish behaviors, right? When we see a child not get her way, what do? Right? And what do? We come over there and we want to encourage them out of it. Like, that's the perfect picture of the Holy Spirit. Because we're going to miss it sometimes, right? We're going to reflect in. We're going to make it about us. We're going to go find a corner. We're going to make a pity party. We're going to sit in there and throw a little party of pity for ourselves. But Holy Spirit, again, in that moment saying, hey, let's go. Get up. Let's put that aside. Those are childish behaviors. We've got to grow up, you know? And as the word says, there's a time in Christianity where you're on the bottle, you're in the milk, right? Mm-hmm. But just in the natural, you see that. You grow out of it. And if you don't, there's a problem. It would be weird if I was over here sucking on a bottle, right? It would be really weird. Because I am matured and I've grown out of those things. That is no different, the picture of our spiritual walk, as in the natural. We cannot continue the way that we were. And as we see in the picture of baptism and what that looks like, the old is gone. The new is what's here. And in the new, I'm going to walk. I'm going to mature. I'm going to grow in the things of Christ. There's a scripture here that Paul talks about, and it just kind of, it's funny to me because he's writing another one of his letters and he says to the church, he's like, why do we need to go back to the foundational things of Christ? And like, he's mentioning like, we should be past all this. And you know, one of the things he mentions in there, the raising of the dead. Like he says, that's the milk of the things, dude. Like, and we're thinking, I've never even seen anybody raised from the dead. I know of one who did. I put my faith and my belief in that. But why have we not continued to grow to understand the words of Jesus Christ that said, these things that I did, greater things you guys are going to do. These things that I have, this path that I've cut for you is now so you can follow behind me and walk these things and do the things that I did. Through who? Through this Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we see that picture in his life when he told the disciples wanted to cling to him, right? They wanted to cling to him when he said, I must go. And they're like, no, don't go, don't go. You got to stay. And he said, I can't. Because if I stay, he can't come. Who's he? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. If I don't go to heaven, if I don't fulfill my purpose here in the flesh, then Holy Spirit can't come to empower you so you can go walk out these same things. And Paul talks about that. The resurrection of the dead itself, that's foundational. That's like the easy things in Scripture and in the walk of Christianity. And we're over here thinking, that's the biggest thing I could think of in walking in Christianity. Uh-huh. I have never seen anybody raised from the dead or even considered speaking to one, you know? But I'm thinking, when are we going to realize the truth of the word? When are we going to wake up and start walking maturity as the body of Christ and these things that the word has called us to, instead of looking to our doctrines and our theologies and saying, well, we haven't seen that, or even our circumstances and what we've seen in life, our experiences. You cannot base faith in experience. That is not what faith is. Faith is applying and calling for things that are not into place, right? When Jesus spoke to Lazarus, Lazarus was dead, right? But what did he say? He didn't say, oh man, Lazarus is dead. No, he said, Lazarus, get up. He called things that were not into place. And guess what? Lazarus got up. That is for you. And I want to touch on this just a little bit before we run out of time. We are entering into a time where God's Spirit is going to be poured out like we have never seen before. Mm-hmm. I anticipate this so much. I'm so excited about the things that we're going to see and the things that I see according to Scripture, just like I mentioned to Paul, like the raising of the dead. What are you talking about? That's the easy stuff in walking this thing out, in knowing who Christ is. We see that in his life, right? If we've seen it in his life, guess what? You can see it in yours, just like we talked about, unless I choose, here's my boundary. Here's where I put my limits. This is the only box that you can work in, God. If you say that, you're exactly right. Because he has given you that control over your life. He has given you free will. Mm-hmm. You can limit God in every way that you want to. But if you will just for a moment say, you know what, God? I read some of these things and I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't see it. But I know that this is the truth. So I say yes. I say yes to the truth. And then open your heart and open your time and open your mouth and open your life to those people. And as we see here, to walk in love. And I want to jump over one more time to the very first of 14, 1 Corinthians 14. Again, what does he say? Let love be your highest goal. You should desire the special abilities that the spirits will give, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll only be talking to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But I want to just point out that, the very first part. Let love be your highest goal. Because from love, all of these things that we talked about this morning, they have a platform to function. They have a platform to stand on, to move in your life. Don't limit God in who he is. And I'm telling you, if you don't know this, you're about to very soon. We are fixing to experience things in the natural we have never seen, we have never fathomed, we have never thought possible on both sides of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. You are fixing to see God move in. And I've encouraged you guys over and over as I've spoken on this program, go back and read the book of Exodus. Go see the truths of what God had done in the book of Exodus, how he showed up. He showed up for the Israelites. They had been enslaved for 430 years. They had not seen God move in miraculous and supernatural ways. And when he did, because what does it say in there? It says he came down. He showed up as a cloud and a pillar of fire. God himself came down among them. And we look again. I know it's so, the temptation is there for us to look and say, well, I haven't seen it. My parents didn't see it. My grandparents didn't see it. And as far as I know, my great-grandparents probably didn't see it either. They didn't say God move in the ways that we see the Scripture talk about in the New Testament. But again, I'm going back to God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did not change. The Israelites, and we see this as the fruit of their life, they did not focus on the words that God was saying. They only focused on their experience of the last 430 years of living as an enslaved people. And that's what focused their mind. That's what fashioned their thoughts. And so they became what? Complainers. They didn't believe. Moses spoke as the prophet to them. And I even thought about this as I went through this the last time. I hadn't caught this before. It says when he went in, he actually went to the leadership of the Israelites first and said, God is here to set you free. And they were all on board, right? The leadership was on board. But then when we see him start to go through the circumstance of that deliverance, which was what? Plagues. Mm-hmm. Even the leaders went back and they started griping and complaining. And they started going to Moses and saying, what are you doing, man? Look what you're bringing on us. Because what happens? The Egyptians got harder. They took the straw away, but you still got to meet your quota. Go find your own hay to mix in with this stuff, right? It got harder. That's what's coming right around the corner. It's about to get harder. But let's again look at the truth according to Scripture. God has came to his house first. He says that. He has came to the leadership. And they are speaking the truth of what God has to say, even if you don't see it yet. And if you don't, because I know many times when I speak, people are like, What the heck is this guy saying? Right? It's coming. Because God has came to the leadership of the church. That's the fivefold ministry. The pastors, the prophets, the apostles, the teachers, the evangelists. God has been speaking through their mouth, through their voices, and telling people, wake up, prepare, awake, O sleeper, as he said in his word. Wake up and prepare your hearts. Your hearts more than anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know if God instructs you, and pray about this, if God instructs you to do some preparation in the natural, obey, mm-hmm. right? But I even look back again. I go back and I look at the story of the Exodus. There was estimated over 1.2 to 1.7 million people that walked out of that place. They didn't pack food. God provided food, mm-hmm. right? God rained manna from heaven, something they had never seen, never experienced before. He was a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire that led them, something they had never seen or never experienced before. Do not limit God in what is coming, because God can do what he wants to, mm-hmm. and he will do whatever in your life that you allow him to do, that you apply that faith that we've been talking about to do. In the first place, and that is walking in love with one another, right? We can set aside all of our doctrinal, our theological differences. We can set all those things aside and say, you know what? I'm letting love be my highest goal. Because as the body of Christ, I don't care where you're at, what you think, what you believe, what you see here, what I don't see there, all of those things, that doesn't matter. What does is love in this moment. We need to walk this out. And you're going to see God bring the body of Christ together in a way we have never seen before. And I anticipate that. I can't wait for that. But I also know in that same word, when the hand of God is extended, just as we see in the Exodus, it was covering for the Israelites and it was judgment for mm-hmm. Egypt, right? Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming for those who have walked in wickedness, who have turned their backs away from God. And people say, why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long? We've been hearing this stuff for 2-3 years now, right? It's taking long because God is love. Mm-hmm. He's patient. Mm-hmm. He's kind. God gives every person the opportunity to turn away from their wickedness and turn their face toward them in repentance and walk in a new way in Christ. God has been giving people time to turn back to Christ. And now that time is about to be over, mm-hmm. just as we see in the story of Egypt. The time for the Egyptians came to a close at the Red Sea, right? God wiped out the enemies that had set themselves against the Israelites. And God again is about to move in a way where he is going to wipe out the enemies in a way that we have never seen before. Again, do not look at life and circumstance and think that's how God can function. Look at his word. Mm-hmm. That's why this is recorded. That's why this book has been the most published, the most popular, the most sold book in entire history up until this day still. because it's the truth. No other book has done this. It's the truth of God's word, and he has been bringing that forth into every generation that has come to this earth. And we have now, we have a guide to look back and say, God, I've seen how you did it there, and I know you can do it for me. And you may be just not so far in the future sitting in front of a table with nothing or a little, and know that God is the God that multiplied bread and fishes to feed those that needed to be fed. That's who he is. That is the supernatural God that we serve. Do not put your natural limitations on a supernatural God. Mm-hmm. I'm going to quit on that.
That's good.
Would you like to give our viewers your Rumble channel to catch some of your teachings?
You bet. So I do have a Rumble channel that is on rumble.com. There's also an app, either on the Apple or Android store. You can just download that app. It's just Rumble. My handle on there is at firewalker77. So we do weekly teachings at our home on Wednesday evenings, and I always post those afterwards. But as an invitation, if you guys are interested in coming and being with other members of the body of Christ, you're welcome to that. I would just ask that you reach out to me and I can give you the address. I'm not going to blast that right over there, but, you can reach out to me. I am on Facebook. Also on the Rumble channel, you can, just comment on one of the videos and, that'll get to my notifications. But each week I do those, I'll post those. And as a matter of fact, some of the things that we've talked about today, we go into deeper study, because on the Wednesday night, our formats, usually we start at the top and we read all every bit of it. We break down, the entire chapter of the book that we're going through. So that's available.
Do you have a P.O. box?
I don't. I just have a physical mailing address.
Okay. So with that being said, I don't want to ask you to give out your physical address. Okay. However, I do want to invite people to sow into your ministry.
Okay.
I've watched it, your Rumble, and I've heard you hear, yeah, Pastor Jason.
Yeah.
And I want to give people the opportunity to sow seeds into what you're doing, what God is doing through you to help build the kingdom. So if you would like to sow a seed into Jason Mong's ministry, what is the name of your ministry? Is it
the Fivefold Training Center?
Fivefold Training Center. You can, who would they make the check out to?
Right now we still have to do it to me because we haven't finished
all the
501(c) paperwork.
Okay.
Because I'm umbrellaed under another ministry. So that, and that's actually out of state, so we're kind of doing,
okay,
the hoops.
Right.
But yeah, so okay, right now it would just have to be made to me. That is not a taxable donation if you make it out to me. But I can give you that to make to the ministry that is established. We just haven't got the fivefold established yet because we're still in the process of all that.
Okay. If you would like to sow a seed into the ministry, please make it payable to Jason Mong, and you are welcome to send it to 321 North Main Street, Elk City, Oklahoma, 73644. And that is the address to us here at the Promise Center. And I will, Tina and I will make sure that Pastor Jason gets the seeds you want to sow into his ministry.
And I do have the Cash App Venmo.
Oh, okay.
So that is available for people. I know, especially the younger generation.
Yeah.
That. And again, my handle is the same as Rumble on that. It's at firewalker77. So okay, that's my Venmo if anybody wants to donate that way.
Okay. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All this new stuff that's coming,
yeah, all
you,
these
know,
young kids, you know.
Yeah. All these youngins and their hip stuff, you know. It's cool, though. I like to learn.
You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and from our brother in Christ, Jason Mong. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.